My friends, Easter is more than our sentimental attachment to the phrase victory over death. Easter is a radical disruption. Resurrection is not the end of suffering, but God's new beginning inside of it. Love is stronger than fear. Hope is born of grief. Easter dawns in grief and darkness. Hear these words from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 12 through 18. Actually, 1 through 18. There we are. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon and Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, but not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. The other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" And she told them that he had said these things to her. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, here in this space, breathe into us your Spirit, we pray. The words from my mouth and the meditations of my heart may be wholly acceptable to you, and to find a home in the hearts of these, your beloved, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb not expecting a miracle, but to tend to her loss, to honor love that the empire had tried to silence. Stone is rolled away, and yet the absence she encounters deepens her grief. The others run to the tomb. They look, and then they leave in confusion. But Mary, she stays. And it is in that steadfast presence, in her refusal to flee the ache of loss, that resurrection finds its first witness. When Jesus speaks her name, it is not triumphalism that fills her, but recognition, an intimate unveiling of love that endures what death could not destroy. Resurrection in John's gospel does not erase trauma, my friends. It transforms it. You see, the wounds remain, but they no longer define the story. In calling Mary by name, Jesus reveals that resurrection begins with relationship, with being seen. being known and being sent. Her proclamation, "I have seen the Lord," becomes the first sermon of the church, preached by a woman. Amen. You can say that louder, Rand.
Amen.
Amen. Philippians echoes this call to perseverance and radiance. Shine like stars in the world, Paul writes. Resurrection is not escape from the world's pain, but participation in God's work of renewal. To shine is to hold fast to the world of life amid a crooked and weary generation, to embody joy as resistance, courage as faith, presence as love. Easter is not a denial of crucifixion's horror, nor a naive claim that suffering is gone. It is the unveiling of God's solidarity within it. Because we know the empire still crucifies, yet resurrection insists that death is never the final word. The risen Christ does not appear first to emperors, to priests, but to a woman on the margins who stayed when others left. Her witness teaches us that resurrection faith is not about certainty, but about turning again and again toward life. In our own time, when despair feels near, and the machinery of death still grinds on, Easter calls us to this same turning, from fear to courage, from silence to witness, from resignation to radiant hope. Resurrection is not a spectacle. It is the quiet revolution of love that refuses to stay buried. And you know, we can practice resurrection. We can practice resurrection by choosing compassion when there is despair and showing up for others even when it's hard. Even when it's difficult. Even when your favorite sports team is playing at 1 p.m. You can show up. You see, empires will continue to claim the last word through power and fear. We've seen it. We continue to see it. But this resurrection we can recognize is God saying a defiant and emphatic no, no more. Resurrection is still happening in us, through us, around us. Because we are an Easter people walking toward what empire calls impossible. Why? Because we're using our prophetic imagination. We can imagine something bigger, bolder, more beautiful, more loving, more like creation, more of heaven on earth. We walk towards that. We live in Easter resurrection every time we choose compassion over fear. As I mentioned, love is stronger than fear. Hope is born of grief. Easter dawns in grief and darkness, and this past week we've just lived it. The sun rises. The sun rises. And we rise with him. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.